Good morning, everybody. It's good to be in the house of the Lord with you today. And just a couple of announcements. The first, we'd like to say thank you to Grace, who this is her last Sunday with us this morning. So we thank you for the gifts that she has shared with us. We'll have a short blessing for her here in a minute. Also, thank you to Emily, our new Christian Ed Director, who's joining us here this morning. She'll be leading us in a song. So we thank you for sharing your gifts on that. Just a couple other announcements. For the month of September, we will continue with the schedule we're having now with 9 o'clock in the sanctuary, 11 o'clock outdoors, and we're feeling that probably September will likely be the last month for outside living where we do, but we'll see what happens. And ask that if you have any questions or concerns about communion or baptism, that you can contact the office and talk to me about that. We're still seeking a part-time financial secretary to fill Sue's position so she can finally retire. So if you know anyone for that, let us know. And then the council has voted to put in some new carpet. If you've noticed in the narthex area, it's getting to be kind of a tripping hazard. So please help to make that a success for us. So we'd like to continue with the blessing, and I invite Howard forward as he has the gift for her. The scriptures are filled with stories of people who have been called to move to new places. Abraham and Sarah, Mary and Joseph, Paul and Barnabas, Priscilla and Aquila, filled with uncertainty about what lay ahead. These people of God could not have found their moves easy, yet they also were filled with excitement, trusting that God was calling them and guiding them to a place, a new place. And now we are preparing to leave us to return to Northwestern College. As a part of this body of Christ over this summer, you have given of yourself in ways that have been appreciated and we will miss. You are kind and compassionate. God has blessed you with the gifts to sing and pray and interpret scripture. God has also given you a strong voice to proclaim the gospel of Christ. Remember that those gifts are from God and let them sustain you, not only in times of sorrow, but also in times of joy. We ask God's blessing upon you as we lift our hearts in prayer. Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, for you have created the wide and wonderful world in which we live. We praise you for your constant care, for those who have trusted you in ages past, who have journeyed in faith to new lands of promise. We trust now that you will hold Grace securely in your hands as she too follows your call on to college. May she take with you her love, your grace, that those whom she lives and works may see the face of Christ. Bless her that she may be a blessing to others. Guide her in the Spirit and in truth, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Grace, please accept this gift as a token of our love and our appreciation. It's from the Shaw Committee and from the congregation. I'll hand it to you, but your hands are full, so can you manage that?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
In Isaiah, we hear that God's house should be a house of prayer for all people, and that God will gather the outcasts of Israel. The Canaanite woman in today's gospel is a Gentile, an outsider, who is unflinching in her request that Jesus heal her daughter. As Jesus commands her bold faith, how might our church extend its mission to those in the margins of society? In our gathering around the word and meal, we receive strength to be the sign of comfort, healing, and justice for those in need.
I invite you to stand as you are able. We'll continue with confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, whose steadfast love is everlasting, whose faithfulness endures from generation to generation.
Amen. Amen. Trusting in the mercy of God, let us confess our sin. Reconciling God, We confess that we do not trust your abundance, and we deny your presence in our lives. We place our hope in ourselves and rely on our own efforts. We fail to believe that you provide enough for all. We abuse your good creation for our own benefit. We fear difference and do not welcome others as you have welcomed us. We sin in thought, word, and deed. By your grace, forgive us. Through your love, renew us. And in your spirit, lead us, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life. Amen.
Beloved of God, by the radical abundance of divine mercy, we have peace with God through Christ Jesus, through whom we have obtained grace upon grace. Our sins are forgiven. Let us live now in hope, for hope does not disappoint, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Join with us as we sing All Are Welcome.
Also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, for this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise. Let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks. We praise you for your name. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy.
Let us pray. God of all peoples, your arms reach out to embrace all those who call upon you. Teach us as disciples of your Son to love the world with compassion and constancy, that your name may be known throughout the earth. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen.
You may be seated.
Our first reading today is from Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 21. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Jesus Christ. Let those of us then who are mature be of the same mind. And if you think differently about anything, this too God will reveal to you. Only let us hold fast to what we have attained. Brothers and sisters, join in imitating me and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. For many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. I have often told you of them, and now I tell you even with tears. Their end is destruction, their God is the belly, and their glory is in their shame. Their minds are set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and it is from there that we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humiliation that it may be conformed to the body of his glory by the power that also enables him to make all things subject to himself. Word of God, word of life. Our second reading is from Romans chapter 11. I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means. I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Just as you were once disobedient to God, but have now received mercy because of their disobedience, so they have now been disobedient in order that by mercy shown to you, they too may now receive mercy. For God has imprisoned all in disobedience so that he may be merciful to all. Word of God, word of life.
and were sitting with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, wow, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard this, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. I remember it like it was yesterday. I was driving down the road. I had picked out a brand new outfit that morning. I had my coffee, and my phone GPS was set to St. Olaf Lutheran Church. It was June 1st, and my summer was just about to begin. This summer internship is something I never thought would actually happen. Due to the pandemic and the unknown future, I assumed I would just be sitting at home and working at my local fairway all summer. God let the pieces fall perfectly together to make this internship happen. I have learned a lot over the last 2.5 months, and I'm so grateful for all of it. One thing that I discovered throughout my time here is my calling and just how important it is. God used this uncertain time to show me where I need to go next. Since my first service here, I've been told that I have good presence and I look like a future preacher. The part that surprises me the most about these comments is I never really saw them in myself before. I feel like Moses in Exodus when God calls him to lead the people. Moses had a stutter and was not interested at all in God's plan for him. But God knew his real strengths and he called him to something greater. I've thought about being a pastor for a while, but I always thought I couldn't do it. I wasn't good enough. I have stage fright, and I'm not always confident in my words, so why would God pick me to do something like this, especially since it's such an important job? I was reminded that God doesn't qualify, or he doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. God knows my true strength, and he has a plan for me. Through this internship and other experiences that God has brought in my life, God has challenged me and strengthened me for my greater calling. Hearing comments from members of the congregation gives me more confidence to follow my calling. It makes it real. God is calling me, and luckily, I heard his call and can act upon it. I'm fortunate enough to be a part of Compassion International. For those of you who don't know, it's an organization that works toward ending poverty in Jesus' name by allowing people to sponsor a child to help support food, clothing, education, and Sunday school. I currently sponsor 2 kids, a 6-year-old boy and an almost 3-year-old girl in Africa. I first heard about Compassion at a Christmas concert by For King and Country with my mom. The leaders of the group, Joel and Luke, shared their story about sponsoring children as well as encouraged us to consider too. I was in high school, about to graduate, head to college, and I really wanted to sponsor a child, but I didn't think it was the right time because I wasn't really financially stable, so I didn't. In January, while at Winter Jam with a school group, they again asked us to consider sponsoring a child. I again wanted to, but still didn't think it was the right time. Almost a year ago, I came home from college with some of my friends, and at church that Sunday, I knew that God was telling me it was time to sponsor a child. I knew that even though I didn't have a lot of extra money, God would provide because this is something he's calling me to. So I went home, went to the Compassion website, and signed up to sponsor a little girl from Uganda. I was filled with joy, and I still am to this day. A couple weeks ago, I received an email from Compassion asking if I would sponsor another child. At first, I thought, no way, because I am a broke college student, and I already sponsor one child. But as I was doing some research on this little boy, I found out that he was from Togo, which is labeled the saddest country on earth. And I couldn't just let him go without a sponsor, so I sponsored him. God was calling me to this child just like he was my little girl from Uganda. God doesn't speak to me through loud booms. He speaks to me through others and the soft pulls on my heart to go a certain direction. Sometimes I wish God would give me a loud, obvious sign to know which way to go. That would make it a lot easier. Sometimes God does that for some people, but for some of us, especially me, it's different. For Matthew, in today's gospel, Jesus told him to get up and follow him, and that was it. That's his history. For my friend Tatum, it just kind of hit her one day. She was debating on going to school for elementary education or to continue to be a pastor, but she knew that pastoral ministry was the way to go because it just... A couple months ago, I saw an image on Facebook that said, "Your pastor asked you to preach, and the title of your message is the last text you sent." What was the last text I sent? "No buses." To my friend Faith. I didn't think I would ever get a sermon that would actually work for that, but here it is. I'll give you a little context. My friend Faith and I were discussing how we have no idea what we're doing with our lives, and we wish that we had a sign that would hit us hard just like a bus so we knew which way to go. As you can tell by my text, there were no buses. That is not how God wanted to speak to us. God has a calling for everyone. This calling is important, and it's made for us as individuals. God knows our strengths and our weaknesses, and he knows how to use us to further his kingdom. Maybe God is calling you through a loud boom. Maybe God is speaking to you in the quiet of the night. Or maybe God is lightly nudging you and pulling at your heart to go a certain direction or go to a certain place. Whatever it is, God is calling to you. He's calling to you right now. You don't have to be afraid to take that step of faith or feel like you could never succeed, because God is right there with you, and he will make a way. If God is calling you, don't ignore it. Run towards it. Philippians 3:14 says, "I press on towards the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus." We have our calling, now we need to run towards it. And once we meet that calling, God's going to call us again. Keep running. We are always being called, whether it's turning left instead of right, paying for someone's groceries, moving to India to do mission work, or deciding to pursue pastoral ministry. God is always calling, so press on towards that call. There's a quote in the movie I Still Believe that says, "Maybe God has something bigger for my life, something I would never have chosen for myself." The movie is about the story of Christian singer Jeremy Camp and his first wife, Melissa. I won't spoil the movie for you, but this quote is used for strength during a very different kind for the time for the couple. We read in Ecclesiastes that there's a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. Our lives, including our callings, are full of ups and downs. But I think what we need to remember is that God is in control of those ups and downs. Sometimes God is calling us to something that is scary and doesn't make any sense. But no matter what, we need to have confidence in that calling and run towards it, even when it's hard. Because we know that God's plan is for good, and he is holding us in his hands. God is calling us, and he's calling you. It's time to act, and let's do it with confidence. Most of you probably know the song, "Here I Am, Lord," by John Michael Talbot. It's a great example of what it looks like to follow our calling. The chorus says, "Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart." God is calling us, and that's not going to change. But in order for us to completely follow our calling, we need to surrender. Surrender our lives, our money, and our time. God is going to lead us where we need to go, but we have to be able to let go of this world and grab onto his plan. We can't follow his calling while still having one hand on the wheel. We need to let go and run after God, to surrender ourselves in front of God and say, "Here I am, Lord, use me." After one of my first times preaching at St. Olaf, I was told, "Don't ignore your calling." To me, that was the official sign that God is calling me to be here. He was telling me that I'm heading in the right direction, so I need to stop doubting and just go with his plan. I still have time to test and develop that calling, but this was my little sign that God's greater calling for me is starting to break open and move me forward into the future. God is not going to give up on trying to reach us. God has a plan and a purpose for us, and he's calling us to something greater. Don't ignore it, because one way or another, God is going to get you right where he wants you. So don't hide. Run towards the call. God is right there with you, leading you along. There's an animated movie called The Croods, and it's about a family of cavemen. This family, unlike the others, has survived for many years because they follow one rule: never not be afraid. They don't take chances and always play on the safe side. One of the three kids of the family, Eep, decided one night to stay out just a little bit longer to get the last glimpse of the sun before it goes away, and everyone is shut back in their cave. During the night, she saw a light moving outside and decided to break out of the cave and follow it. She ended up finding a man named Guy walking around with a stick that was on fire so he could see. Guy was afraid of the dark, just like Eep and her family were. Guy warned Eep before she was taken back to the cave that the end was coming and they needed to move into tomorrow, a place full of peace and light, a good place. As the crumbling earth, or the end, got closer, Guy eventually convinced the family to follow him into tomorrow. The movie follows the theme of a family that has been doing the same thing for generations, and all of a sudden, it just didn't work anymore. They needed to move on to something greater. They were being called into tomorrow, called to try something new and break away from the norms. We are called to break out of our chains and follow God into tomorrow, to follow his good plan. We have a calling, and it's our job to run towards it. If you are being called, run. Take a leap of faith, embrace the change, and complete the task God is giving you. God is calling you. Are you listening? Amen.
Please stand as we sing, In Christ There Is No East or West.
Let us confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Confident in your care and helped by the Holy Spirit, we pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Lord, you gather the church to be part of your mission as ambassadors of Jesus Christ. As Jesus acknowledged the great faith of a woman from outside his people, help your church to discover and find blessing in the faith of people we might reject. Lord, in your mercy. You have blessed us with the bounty of the earth. Grant your grace to all your creatures that the earth will flourish. Relieve waters choked by garbage, renew soils stripped of nutrients, and refresh the air all creatures need to live. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
You call the nations to be glad and sing for joy. Let your way be known among all the nations of the world, now divided by competing interests, contending alliances, and consumed by enormous worry. Bless us and make your face shine upon all. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
You show unexpected mercy, kindness, and generosity. We pray for those who do not have enough, for outcasts in our villages, cities, and towns, and for those who need your healing, especially Eric Bagness, Judy Lang, Donna Smith, Gary Weidenfield, Curtis Stover and family, Tim Brainerd, Rosemary Stickrod, Teresa Copps, Bev Carlson, Leroy Oyster's family and friends, Evelyn Ruth Mansager's family and friends, and Elmer Vosberg's family and friends. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
In you we live and move and have our being. Grant our congregation grace to find our life refreshed in you. Accompany us in the rhythms of late summer. Give us rest and renewal, and strengthen us for mission in your name. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Your eternal promises are more than we could ever imagine. As you gather all the saints, join us also with them on the day of your salvation. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
In the certain hope that nothing can separate us from your love, we offer these prayers to you through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share with one another a sign of Christ's peace with a peace sign or an air high five. At this time, we will receive our offering for the mission and ministry at the PayPal link, the Vanco app, by dropping it in our offering plate on the way out, or by mailing a check to our church. We appreciate your good gifts as they further sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. God of goodness and growth, all creation is yours, and your faithfulness is as firm as the heavens. Water and word, wine and bread, these are signs of your abundant grace. Nourish us through these gifts, that we might proclaim your steadfast love in our communities and in the world. Through Jesus Christ, our strength and our song. Amen.
Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. God the Creator, Jesus the Christ, and the Holy Spirit the Comforter bless you and keep you in eternal love. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Go in peace. Christ is with you. Thanks be to God.